Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 21st chapter of Proverbs, the 13th verse. He who closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself cry out and not be heard. In the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior and the Lord of the church, dearly beloved. When that Old Testament lesson is read, ordinarily it's the emphasis placed on the last verse, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to render justice. In other words, the wisdom of Solomon is praised, but little or nothing is said about the attitude of the two women. The maternal love of the one who was willing even to give up her child if only it could be given the privilege of life, and the callousness of the other one who seemed content to stand by and watch this little baby be hacked in half. And the baby, usually don't think about the baby at all. This morning, I should like to use that reading as a springboard for speaking as God gives grace on one of the darkest blots on the record of our great country, the evil of abortion. You know that our church body spoke to this issue again last year in its convention in Resolution 3-04B, powerful statement reaffirming and implementing our pro-life stance. Some months ago, Dr. Bowman, the president of our church, sent a letter to the seminary asking us what we are doing to implement that resolution. Our homily today is part of the answer. The message of the text is a very stern one, and yet it reminds us again of the mercy and the compassion of our God. He who closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself cry out and not be heard. And that prompts the question, the theme, and who shall hear their cry? And who shall hear their cry? The cry is there. It is, according to the text, the cry of the poor, and that means, of course, much more than the cry of the unwanted fetus. Is the cry of all of those of whom the Savior speaks in Matthew 25, the hungry and the thirsty, the stranger and the naked, the sick and the imprisoned. But today we are reminded that it is also the cry of those who are deprived of life even before they are born. And do we even hear their cry anymore? Or have our collective consciences been so numbed by the abortion holocaust that our ears are stopped? We recoil with horror at what took place a week or so ago at the embassy in Beirut, another bombing. But who shall hear the cry of the 1,700,000 babies murdered each year through abortion? You know the statistics. In more than a dozen cities, abortions outnumber live births, a baby killed every 20 seconds. And it's not simply the cry from the womb. It is the cry of the deformed and handicapped infants left without treatment to die. It is the cry of the elderly who, if a growing number in this country had their way, would quietly be put to sleep as soon as their useful and productive years had come to an end. And who shall hear their cry? We must. We must, and I would suggest three ways this morning, briefly, in which we can do that. We can, in the first place, expose the myths proposed by those who defend the wanton destruction that takes place through abortion. We can and must expose the myth that that's not a living child in the womb, and remind our world how often God speaks of the womb or of life in the womb regarding Isaiah, Jeremiah, St. Paul, John the Baptist, our Lord himself. We must expose the myth that a woman has the right to do with her body as she would, as though there were no God, no stewardship, and we were all our own. We must expose the sly, satanic slogan, every child, a wanted child, as though we are called upon to show love and affection only if it's convenient, if it causes no hardship. Secondly, we as a church must give positive witness. And that means to bring to those despairing prospective mothers alternatives to abortion, to give wise and understanding counsel to prospective parents, to lay before our church the real issues in the debate, to support with our time and with our money organizations like Lutheran for Life and others that have been organized to hear the cry of the poor and to preserve the sanctity of life. And thirdly, we are called upon to more aggressively proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is as we hold high the love of God in Christ and speak of his sacrifice for the sins of the world, the blessedness of sins forgiven, the sure hope of an unending heaven with him, that our callous world can be changed. For it is more than physical life of which we speak. It is to remind our world that every prospective parent, every child in the womb has also been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, has a soul created for eternity. And we can bring the healing balm of the gospel to those who have had an abortion and whose consciences are tormented, wondering whether there is forgiveness even for them. How blessed that we can tell them in their repentance that the lights in the Father's home still burn brightly also for them. And who shall hear their cry? He said before that this is a very stern text. Listen to it again. He who closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself cry out and not be heard. Not the only place that our Lord talks this way. As he castigates the people of Israel for their oppression of the poor, for their neglect of mercy, for their self-centeredness. How tragic if, as we plead our cause before the judgment seat of God, this verse should find its fulfillment. How terrifying that word spoken at the judgment scene to those who failed to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked and to visit the sick and the imprisoned. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his evil angels. But who shall hear their cry? God hears. We know that he hears the cry of the poor. And praise him for his mercy. That includes the cry also of the spiritually poor. That's what we are, you know. Because we have failed him as we have failed the least of his brothers and sisters. The Lazaruses of the world lie at our door waiting to be fed the crumbs that fall from our table, and that cry is not heard in all of our partying and feasting. The tiny voices struggling hopelessly to be heard from the abortion clinics of our land are drowned out by the sound of our selfish lies. We can only smite upon our breast and say, God, be merciful to us sinners. And God hears the cry of the penitent. God loves. God forgives. There is the cross. There is the Savior whose blood was shed also for the sin of stopped up ears. He invites us again to taste that he is gracious today, and who in the power of that gospel would have us order our lives anew, so that we will hear the cry of the poor and respond. By his grace, we shall hear, we shall respond, and God will bless. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.